let's get back to information and historic perspectives to help you understand what's going on now. This is, in a way, new and unique, but in another way, it's the same old stuff. Greed? How much greed is too much? There's no limit to it. Look at Zelensky's, it's up in headlines, look at Zelensky's Italian mansion. He's got one in Florida, too. These people, he's probably a billionaire. We know that the Bidens in all likelihood are worth a billion or more, maybe several, we don't know. I mean, how much can you loot a country before the people figure it out? I guess it's kind of indefinite. When you look at Ukraine, look at the United States. We're being looted all the time. We just bought and paid for over 30 biological weapons laboratories of death just in Ukraine, not counting the number in Georgia. We don't know how many are there. So, you know, I guess people just get used to being, it's almost a genetic thing, taken for a ride and then some. Mitchell, welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. It's good to be here.
All right.
I think the thing about money is that at first people, they want a lot of money. But then when you have a lot of money, you start putting your eye on the next ball, and that's power. And when you're going for power, you never want to give that power up. Okay.
True. There's, very intoxicating.
It's addictive. So I want to talk about the history of World War III. And I want to start out with world wars and new world orders. Okay. So the First World War was meant to be the end of the age of imperialism, where competing colonial empires were chipping away at the old empires of Austria-Hungary, the German Empire, the Russian Empire, the Turkish Empire, and the Chinese Empire, which had imploded in 1911 under the assault of British, French, Russian, and Japanese empires. It was to be replaced by the League of Nations, as envisioned by the American globalist President Woodrow Wilson. There were four members of the Security Council made up of the winning allies, the UK, France, Italy, and Japan, with the second tier of all the other independent nations forming a second-class tier of powers. This was unworkable because it was a tyranny of the four allies who rarely agreed on anything. The U.S. Congress voted against joining the League of Nations, even though it was the brainchild of U.S. President Wilson. Italy and Japan were kicked out by 1934 for aggression in Asia and Africa. Uh-huh. Russia was in between 1934 and 1939, kicked out for invading Finland. Germany was in between 1926 and 1933. Germany left on its own choice. The League of Nations never had any teeth, and its Security Council members were responsible for creating wars, not creating peace. The League of Nations was part of the Treaty of Versailles, which bankrupted Germany and led directly to the Second World War. The First World War was also a war to create the first Marxist state, the USSR, in what was the Russian Empire. Mm-hmm. The Second World War can simply be looked at as a war to save Marxism from extinction. It was to end all empires and create a worldwide world government and establish a new world order. They, of course, made the same mistake as the League of Nations by making the leading allies permanent members of the Security Council, the U.S., the United Kingdom, France, Russia, and Nationalist China. But we stabbed Nationalist China in the back and gave that seat to Communist China under Jimmy Carter. Okay, and those permanent members could veto anything. The U.N. came with the Bretton Woods financial regime to rebuild world trade and development by creating the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The U.N. got involved in developmental economics, which was a tool to promote cultural genocide across the world and try to make all people the same culture, an international Marxist culture. It has done a great job of destroying culture, civil society, morality, and introducing multiculturalism and diversity to destroy national identities and create fictions promoting the greatness of dysfunctional and decadent societies. Like the League of Nations, the instigators of most wars were the permanent members of the Security Council itself. This created the Cold War, whose function was to decide who would lead international Marxism, the USA or the Soviet Union. In 1991, the United States became the undisputed leader of international Marxism. So the United Nations was really just controlled by the United States from the beginning. America became the world dictator and bully, making arbitrary and capricious rules on the fly. The USA demanded obedience. From World War I until America became the dictator of the unipolar world, there was never a failed state. It was George H.W. Bush who declared the New World Order after the Gulf War in 1991. In 1992, Bill Clinton was elected president of the USA and was inadequate to the task of being a world leader of international Marxism. The first failed state in modern times was shepherded in by Clinton in Somalia. He presided over the failure of many other nations like Liberia and Sierra Leone at the cost of much bloodshed. Clinton refused to send even 200 signal jamming troops to Tanzania to stop the Rwandan genocide. Our so-called first black president has the blood of more than a million black people on his hands, but is beloved by the black community. He was the one that incarcerated more black men than any other president in U.S. history with his policies. He almost single-handedly destroyed the black family because he knew that such disastrous policies would make black people the vanguard of the Marxist revolution in America, as Black Lives Matter clearly demonstrates. He was followed by another inadequate leader, George W. Bush, who was an accelerationist. Under his watch, the CIA attacked America on 9/11 using their Islamist running dogs. He wanted to destabilize Iraq so that millions of Muslims would flee to Europe and the United States while murdering them by the hundreds of thousands in their own lands. Bush told the Emir of Kuwait that he had to attack Iraq so that Jesus would come back sooner. Bush intentionally refused to budget for the war on terrorism in order to intentionally destroy the U.S. economy in 2004, in order to destroy U.S. power so that Christ would come back sooner. This I got from Harper's Magazine, mainstream media. This is arrogance and evil. God cannot be manipulated. Manipulating God is called magic, and surely the grandson of Aleister Crowley, the self-proclaimed beast or antichrist and father of modern Satanism, would believe. Next came Barack Obama, who was openly Marxist and sought to decrease American power and influence in the world. He attended a church that repeated the mantra, "God damn America." Cultural Marxism was now in full control of American society.
Yeah.
Then came Donald Trump, who was elected precisely to stop the fall of America. The only problem is that the people that work for him basically ignored him. If he is reelected, he will be ignored again. Where is the wall that he promised? How many illegal aliens did Trump deport? Less than Obama. Now with the pedophile Marxist Biden regime in just over a year, the U.S. stands on the verge of annihilation. The American Republic is already over. Your liberties are gone. His racist policies are destroying white America and making the people who actually built this country into second-class citizens in their own land. The single most focused message of his administration is obey. Okay?
Yep.
So, American policy leading to World War III. The objective of World War III is to destroy the United States' world power and destroy the world economy in order to usher in yet another new world order where America and Europe will not lead anything and the dollar will not be a major factor in international finance.
You know what they will lead?
Wanted to,
They'll lead,
what?
Excuse me, Mitch, they'll lead something.
Go ahead.
They'll lead the Deagle.com population reduction race.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's all part of the plan.
Of course. Sorry.
So the U.S. global elites wanted to rule this new world order, but it has become clear to the world that U.S. leadership is simply lame, arrogant, and unreasonable. To understand what is happening now, we have to return to George H.W. Bush in 1990, when he was the leader of the New World Order, that he declared. The question was over reunification of Germany. Should it be in NATO or the Warsaw Pact? Bush made an offer to Gorbachev. He said, if, this is a quote, if a unified Germany became a NATO member, NATO would stop expanding not one inch eastwards. There are ample records of this. Hundreds of memorandum and transcripts from U.S. archives demonstrate that this is true. Okay?
Yep.
But the West did not keep its promises. Clinton wanted to expand NATO east. In 1997, 50 foreign policy experts, including Bill Bradley, Sam Nunn, Gary Hart, Paul Mitzi, and Robert McNamara, wrote an open letter to Bill Clinton and said NATO expansion was expensive and unnecessary given that the Soviet Union no longer existed and that the Cold War was long over. They told Clinton that efforts to expand NATO were a policy error of historic proportions. In 1997, Gorbachev addressed Congress and warned that NATO expansion towards Ukraine would result in exactly what is happening now. Russia was running to force to keep Ukraine out of NATO. He said, and I quote, I am not persuaded by the assurances that we hear that Russia has nothing to worry about. You may not humiliate a nation, a people, and think that it would have no consequences. Also in 1997, George Kennan, the architect of the Cold War strategy against the Soviet Union, said, I think it is a tragic mistake to enlarge NATO. There was no reason whatsoever to do so. No one was threatening anybody else. In 1999, the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Poland were admitted to NATO, putting NATO on the Russians' border at the same time. Poland's border with the Russian Kaliningrad enclave on the Baltic Sea was what did it. In his 2003, Strobe Talbot wrote in his book, The Russia Hand, quote, many Russians see NATO as a vestige of the Cold War. They point out that they have disbanded the Warsaw Pact and ask why the West should not do the same. Strobe Talbot is the mentor of Victoria Nuland, who obviously ignored his sober advice on this matter. So in 2004, Bulgaria, Romania, Slovenia, and Slovakia were admitted into NATO. But worse, the three former Soviet republics, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, were admitted to NATO, and they all three have borders with Russia. Keep in mind that Russia consistently complained about how this NATO movement to the east was a threat to Russia and was breaking promises that NATO had made to Russia. At the 2007 Munich conference, Putin said, and I quote, NATO has put its frontline forces on our borders. This expansion represents a provocation that reduces the level of mutual trust, and we have a right to ask against whom is this expansion intended? What has happened to the assurances of our Western partners made after the dissolution of the Warsaw Pact? In 2008, William J. Burns, a former ambassador to Russia, wrote a letter to the U.S. State Department saying, and this is a quote, Ukrainian entry into NATO is the brightest of all red lines for the Russians. The Russian elites, from knuckle-draggers in the darkest recesses of the Kremlin to Putin's sharpest liberal critics, I have yet to find anyone who views Ukraine in NATO as anything other than a direct challenge to Russia's interests.
You bet.
In 2009, NATO admitted Albania and Croatia. In 2010, Stephen Cohen, a professor of Russian studies at Princeton, gave a speech at the Carnegie Council saying, quote, we break our word to Russia. What NATO represents to Russia is a lack of trust in intentional military encirclement. Cohen was very knowledgeable about Russia. I've read many of his journal publications on Russia as well as his books. He's one of the few academics that can see things from the Russian point of view. He died in 2020, though. In 2014, former CIA director and defense secretary in both the Bush and Obama administrations wrote in his memoirs that, quote, trying to drag Georgia and Ukraine into NATO was truly overreaching. This move was a case of willfully ignoring what the Russians considered their own vital interests. In 2015, John Mearsheimer, professor of political science and international relations at the University of Chicago, belonging to the realist school of thought, said, and I quote, we are purposely baiting Ukraine to take a hard line with Russia under false promises of inviting them into NATO and the West. The West is leading Ukraine down the primrose path, and the end result is that Ukraine is going to get wrecked. We are encouraging the Ukrainians to play tough with the Russians because we will ultimately defeat Russia. Mearsheimer also speaks of how Israel runs U.S. foreign policy and that the strongest voice are the Christian Zionists. For example, Bush was a Christian Zionist. It makes sense. Russia's friendly to Israel, but Ukrainians hate their Jews. Israel has even been trying to evacuate Jews from Ukraine to a safety in Israel. They would rather see Russia win in Ukraine to eliminate the Nazi threat in Eastern Europe, mostly concentrated in Ukraine. Mearsheimer stated that for three decades, Russia has been clear, no NATO on their borders. In 2017, Montenegro was admitted to NATO, and in 2020, North Macedonia was admitted to NATO. The Clinton, Bush, and Trump and Biden administrations have all been advised against enlarging NATO, and why? They have been told that it could eventually lead to a thermonuclear war. Here we sit today in that reality that has been predicted and warned against since the end of the Cold War. This clearly demonstrates that our politicians serve the lust for power, and the few American citizens left in this country are not even an afterthought to them. As this election cycle comes, look to see which of your Republican congressmen or senators are parroting the uninformed pro-Ukraine jingoists and vote in the primary for a Republican that does not vomit forth the pro-Ukrainian propaganda of the pedophile Marxist Biden regime. They are trying to get you killed. Okay. So the question is NATO a defensive or an offensive military alliance? Until 1992, it was a defensive alliance. In 1999, NATO attacked Serbia without UN approval and separated Kosovo from Serbia against international law. Not even all NATO members recognize Kosovo, like Spain, Slovakia, Greece, and Romania don't recognize them. The UN does not recognize Kosovo as an independent nation, and 98 UN member nations do not recognize its independence from Serbia. In 2022, Russia attacked Ukraine without UN approval and separated Donetsk and Luhansk from Ukraine as independent nations. What is the difference, and why the double standard? In 2003, the United States invaded Iraq and occupied it without UN approval. Some NATO nations assisted. We killed hundreds of thousands of Iraqis and laid waste to their nation. Why is that not a war crime? In 2011, NATO declared a no-fly zone over Libya and bombed positions for the rebels. The UN did not approve of this military invasion of sovereign nation that was not attacking any other nations. The results, Libya is the only nation on earth with an open slave market where black people are bought and sold. Christians are raped and beheaded publicly. While Gaddafi was an ally against Islamic terrorists and had complied with all Western demands to make reparations for previous terror attacks and completely dismantled his weapons of mass destruction program, we had no problem stabbing him in the back and watching him be murdered in the streets. Ever wonder why Kim Jong-un will not give up his weapons of mass destruction program, or even Iran? Look what happens when you comply. They turn on you and kill you. Okay? So that's the problem. So the NATO website says, quote, NATO is an active and leading contributor to the peace and security of the international stage. How is that defensive in nature? It describes NATO as essentially an expeditionary military force.
Sure.
It says that it promotes democratic values and is committed to the peaceful resolution of disputes. Exactly where have they ever done this? Are the public health totalitarian states that make up NATO, like France, Canada, and the USA, actually democracies? However, if diplomatic efforts fail, it has the military capacity to undertake crisis management operations alone or in cooperation with other countries and international organizations. Notice it says nothing about requiring UN approval.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we demand that of every other country in the world, but NATO mm-hmm. is an exception to that rule. Okay. So, hold on right there.
Good place to stop. This is so ugly, the whole thing, and so corrupt in its presentation by the lapdog media. And the people really, it's hard to blame them, Mitch. They don't have a chance. They end up dumb. They just don't have a chance unless they make the effort. And very few have the time or the inclination to do so. Back in a minute. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Mitch Henderson about World War III, which many people feel we are already in, and it's going to get a lot worse. I would suggest that Vladimir Putin is a man of his word. I think we know that. I don't know any case in which he has said something that he has not followed through. There may be some, I just don't know of any. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, if anybody gets in the way and introduces weapons or other materials that harm Russian soldiers, impede the effort to liberate Ukraine, we will immediately wipe out the countries from which those weapons came from. And further, we will go after and annihilate the people who made the decisions that those weapons should flow through those countries into Ukraine. Now, if he keeps that promise or that warning, we could be in a thermonuclear war real fast. Minutes. In other words, if Poland, which is dramatically denying they want anything to do with giving Ukraine jets because they know they're going to get nuked into oblivion, says, no, we're not involved with it. Meanwhile, the little weirdo Blinken is saying, well, we're working with the Poles to get more jets in there. We'll just watch and see. Watch and see. Go ahead, Mitch.
Okay, so what happened in December is Putin tried diplomacy first. What he offered NATO was, he said, basically, no more expansion east. So Georgia and Ukraine cannot become part of NATO. He says all the countries that are at present in NATO can remain in NATO. The only thing is no major military, Western NATO military bases can be placed in the old Warsaw Pact countries like Poland and stuff. We can't build bases there. And no big maneuvers. If Poland wants to join a maneuver in Germany or France, that's just fine. But no big maneuvers on Russia's borders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's all he asked for. He asked for what NATO promised him. He even cut NATO some slack and say, okay, everybody that's already in can stay in. But no new
I know.
Especially
the guys,
in the East.
It's amazing. I got it.
So And we just said no, even after 8 hours of talking, just no, no, no. No, no compromise whatsoever. It's because we don't want to give up power, you know. So here at home, the pedophile Marxist Biden regime brags about how he has united NATO. Well, NATO is not united in this mess. The Minister of Hate, Anthony Blinken, gave Bulgaria and Poland the green light to send their MiGs and Sukhois to Ukraine. Bulgaria has refused from the very beginning, saying it is an act of war to do so. Today, Poland said no. Minister Blinken had promised Poland F-16s in exchange, but those cannot be delivered for a while, and the pilots must be trained. Poland doesn't want to give up its Air Force to Ukraine. Besides, it is no secret that we have sent our F-16s to Asia. Polish news suggests that the pedophile Marxist Biden regime, they called him that, but I do, wants Poland to screw up and start a war between NATO and Russia.
True.
And they are not buying it. The evil Minister Blinken went to Moldova to give assurances. The Moldovans wondered why NATO troops are on the Moldovan border instead of the Ukraine border. The Moldovans suspect that NATO will invade them. If people in our State Department would stop playing video games and actually learn something about other nations in the world, Blinken would know that Moldova's constitution prohibits it from joining any military alliances. That is a wasted trip that the taxpayers had to pay because the State Department incompetence. Not only that, but Moldova has clearly stated that it is neutral in this war. And Putin accepts that neutrality. Hungary banned any weapons at all, even a rifle, going to Ukraine of any kind. No Hungarian may fight in the Ukraine, and no weapons can pass through or over Hungary that are headed for Ukraine.
Smart
Hungary
people.
Wants nothing to do with this world war that's coming.
That's right.
Turkey will not cut off Russian oil. Yeah, NATO is really united under the pedophile idiot Biden. India has told the USA to go screw itself. It will continue to trade with Russia and has already signed some new trade agreements since the sanctions were imposed on Russia. China and India have decided to get along and cooperate because of this. Pakistan has signed a new trade deal with Russia also. Iran trades with Russia. China trades with Russia. Russia's trade has increased by 40% since the beginning of 2022. Okay, that's just in the last couple of months. Their trade has increased by 40%. Okay, our news is telling us that we are destroying Russia's economy. When the truth is, we're destroying our own economy. Okay, we're not hurting Russia at all. They're doing fine. Okay. Chairman Biden imposed sanctions on Venezuela and now wants to talk Maduro to see if he can get oil from Venezuela. I hope Maduro just tells them to take a walk. Well, in one way I do, but in another way, I would like to not pay a lot of money for gasoline. Chairman Biden snubbed Saudi Arabia.
By the way, $7 a gallon for regular in Los Angeles now.
Chairman Biden snubbed Saudi Arabia and the UAE by pulling air defense missiles out of their nations and stopping already approved arms sales. He has begged them for more oil and got a cold no in response. Have we ever had a more incompetent leadership with such a total lack of vision and foresight? I don't think so. Okay, so World War III began on February 24th, 2022. And what you need to watch for is Putin has established red lines for nuclear war. One, any blockade of its petroleum products. That won't be a problem because the United States just buys 3% of Russia's oil, and he can sell it to other people. So that's not an issue. Any total ban from SWIFT. So far, they've only banned 7 Russian banks. Okay, any no-fly zone over Ukraine, even if the UN declares it. any large cyber attack on Russian infrastructure. Biden suggested that the Cyber Command can do it. The idiot does not realize that the whole point of cyber attacks is that they cannot be attributed to anyone. Stupid Joe already took responsibility for them, so it's nuclear war no matter who does it. Anybody can mess up a major part of their infrastructure, and they'll push the button. It doesn't even have to be us. Biden put us on the spot there by taking credit for a cyber attack that hadn't happened yet. Okay. Lindsey Graham suggested that someone assassinate Putin. So if Putin is assassinated, who will they blame? Besides, Russia can play that game, too. They can come here, and they're very good at assassinating people.
Oh, they could take out Lindsey Graham, and a few hours they could come over here and take him out. Graham is such a moron. He's just an imbecile.
Yeah, what a stupid thing to say, because if they kill Putin, the next guy will just push the button, you know?
It's over. It's over. You're right.
By even one NATO aircraft or a single NATO soldier, any NATO attack will provoke a nuclear war. If you have any contacts in Russia, have them let you know if the Russians are moving into bomb shelters. Our intelligence will see this, but they won't tell us. They don't care about us. Okay, but that's an indicator that they're ready to go to...
They can get the whole city of Moscow underground within 30 minutes, I believe. They have shelters all around the city in a big circle. Go ahead.
They've held drills. They've practiced this. They've got them stocked. So if we see people moving in, then we can do it.
Mitchell, we can look at that as
an indicator that the nukes are coming.
Of course.
I have no faith that if the American intelligence sees that happening, I have little or no faith that they'll tell the American people.
I would guarantee it.
They want to.
We have no civil defense program. Where are they going to go?
Well, you can leave the town that's going to get bombed. That's for sure. You know. My China expert, okay, because I was wondering, well, when's China going to take action and stuff? And he said, well, it'll be after March 13th. And he said, this may be why Putin hasn't outright blitzkrieged the Ukraine. One reason is he wants the pain to be extended as long as possible. Another reason is China's not ready. Once China attacks Iran, that will draw attention away from Ukraine.
Taiwan.
And he can go ahead and take it off.
Taiwan.
Yes. So Taiwan, actually the last 2 weeks of March is the premium time for them to make a cross-strait invasion. Okay, so the only thing China's waiting for is actually the Paralympics to be over, and they finish on March 13th. So after March 13th, China didn't make Putin wait to March 13th. He just said, well, go ahead. And so Putin's keeping things going. And then after March 13th, China will make its move. Not on March 13th. You know, it's like it could be within days or a week or something. But it'll be soon after that. That'll be the best opportunity.
Daylight savings time begins on March 13th. Purim, the Jewish holiday, begins on March 16th. St. Patrick's Day is March 17th, and it's a full moon on Friday the 18th.
Oh, a full moon.
Wouldn't they want a dark sky?
Because what they want is in order to do an amphibious landing,
you got to do preparatory fires, and then
the troops come in, you have to have air support for them. Okay, because they really don't. They have rockets that can go across the strait, but their field artillery can't. They need to get their field artillery on the beach, So what they need to do is they'll go in and establish air superiority right away. I mean, listen, if Putin just goes ahead and gets air superiority over Ukraine, he can blitz through there in a week or two. Okay. But Taiwan's a different story. They're making an amphibious landing and airborne landings. So they're going to need good light, good weather, no rain, full moon. Those are all positive things because they need some visibility to give air support to their landing troops. Okay. They got to take, like the Taiwanese are going to try to lay field artillery and stuff onto the beaches and stuff. So the Chinese have to take out that artillery before their troops land. Okay. Right. You got to remember, the Taiwanese are going to know they're coming because they're 100 miles away, and it'll take them at least 10 hours to effectively cross the Strait of Taiwan to make their landing. But before that, they're going to destroy infrastructure. They're going to land airborne forces and stuff. What the Taiwanese are going to do, what their plan is to head into the mountains of western Taiwan and try to fight a guerrilla war against China. Okay. This has happened before. During the Japanese occupation, those mountains was where the guerrillas operated out of also. I myself have been there, and I've been in those mountains. If you go on the East Coast, it's flat. There's rice paddies and stuff. It's a good place to make an amphibious landing. But when you get to the western side of the country, it's a very mountainous. It's actually gorgeous and beautiful. But there's no real beaches on the West Coast. It's rocky and hard to get up on and stuff. But the mountains are good enough to conduct guerrilla war campaign on.
So well, can you imagine what's in those mountains? How many caverns and tunnels and underground bases and facilities there are?
Pre-positioned supplies and stuff like
tons.
That. Yeah. It's like Ukraine had no preparation for this war. So I don't think Russia's really too worried about it. But the Taiwanese, you know, they've been looking at this happening for a long time. And I'm sure that back during Chiang Kai-shek's time, they started pre-positioning stuff in the mountains just in case. As a matter of fact, when I went there, Chiang Kai-shek was the leader of Taiwan, and Mao Zedong was still in power in mainland China. So that shows you how old I am. Okay. The main protagonists were still alive and in power at the time I visited.
You got Chiang Kai-shek's autograph, huh? Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't get it. I actually have Mao's autograph. My father, he was a immigration criminal investigator, and he got a hold of a Chinese guy who had the little red book, and it was signed by Mao Zedong. So I've got a signed copy of the little red book that the Red Guard used and stuff.
That's funny. Yeah, here's one for you. I just saw this. The pentagram is at it again. The Zionist pentagram. They're saying that Vladimir Putin is dying in agony from terminal cancer. This stuff that they crank out is endless garbage. Endless, nonstop.
It is garbage. Let me tell you, Jeff. I've gotten to the point where I can't read anything in the American newspapers because it's such bullshit. It's just war propaganda
to brainwash
people. Even Fox News. I can't stand to watch Fox News anymore because they're just harping on, oh, the poor Ukrainians. It's like, don't they understand basic history that I just went over? That's all public information.
Yeah.
That's not from secret archives. That is all public, all known, all on the record.
Mm-hmm.
If they do a little bit of journalism and look back, they'll know who the bad guy is, and it's us that's the bad guy. But, you know, it's like when we go to war, oh, we got to circle the wagons, and everybody has to be for the government's thing. I'll tell you right now, I'm against the war in Ukraine. I think Putin has the moral force in this war, and I think we are the evil aggressors in this war. So here I stand, a soldier of 28 years, anti-war in this war case. Okay, these people are trying to get us all killed. Okay, and it's part of the plan. They're going to bring down the economy, the American economy. They're going to get rid of the dollar as the international reserve currency. America will not be a big voice in the world anymore. America may be a collection of little mini states, or warlord ships, or like gang fiefdoms and stuff like that. It's not going to be a united nation. It won't be a United States anymore. People will be on their own after the dukes fall.
You're right. The people I talked to told me 4 years ago now, almost, that they were pulling the plug on the United States and Western Europe and Britain and Canada and so on. It was over. We're done. We're pulling the. We're done with it. That's what I was told. We're done, and their day is over. And that's what it looks exactly like is going on.
Yeah, you have to remember that that after America falls, the new world order is going to be the final world order. Okay, people won't be happy with that, but I'm kind of hoping that the United States will be in such an anarchic mess that world order won't be able to impose itself here. Okay. So, I mean, you got to keep remembering that no matter what you think of Americans, American civilians have more firearms than all of the armies of the world combined.
Okay? It's really
something like 350 million of them out there.
That's an astonishing
figure. So who wants to come and deal with this mess? I think they're going to take the policy of, hey, let's just let's sit back and let them slug it out, and then we'll go in when it's all over. But a lot of groups, militia groups that I have been talking to for the past 3 or 4 years, they've seen this coming. They think that America will be destroyed, and instead of getting on some FBI list and going to prison for trying to push their program now, they're thinking, well, why not wait until after the nuclear war? We're out away from everything. We'll probably survive it, and then we can set up like white nationalist states. There's black people that want to set up black nationalist states, and they're actually communicating with the white nationalists to ally to make that happen. Okay. So there's so much that our government isn't just clueless about what's happening overseas. They're actually clueless as to what's happening here in the United States. If you stop and think about it, in August we had 10 million open jobs. Well, every month since then, 4 million people have walked off their jobs. Okay, so that's like August, September, November, December, January, February. That's 24 million more people that have walked off the job. So this is sort of like a silent general strike. Okay, and it's Biden can brag about, oh, he created 680,000 jobs in the last couple of months, but there's nobody to take those jobs. There's nobody who wants those jobs.
Oh no,
illegal aliens want those jobs.
Help wanted sign, hiring signs everywhere.
Everywhere. And not even the illegals are going for those jobs.
Give it another year or two, and the labor force will be so sick and dying, there really won't be anybody to fill many of those jobs. That's the truth.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's
hey, listen.
Very true.
Excellent summation, as always. Very quickly, your idea on the nuclear war chance, 50-50, 60-40, what do you think?
Well, it could be zero if our leaders quit virtue signaling and being emotional about the whole thing. It could be lower, but when I look at this administration, the pedophile Marxist Biden regime, they are so inept and incompetent that,
yeah,
that I'm sure,
yeah,
they are going to screw up and they are going to bring war, nuclear war, upon America. They will do it because of hubris, because of arrogance, because,
yeah,
they're woke and they don't listen to other people. They think they know it all already. They
it's
are
true.
Gods.
It's true.
That
well,
are complete in themselves. You know.
Let's hope they get their asses fried too if this thing goes up. Thank you, Mitch. Yeah. All right. Talk to you next week. Good job. Okay. All right. And thank you for being here. We will be back tomorrow night. Talk to you then.